Streaming bandwidth provided by Worship Channels. Visit them online at worshipchannels.com. Live streaming made simple. On today's Technobabble, fonts.
Is Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Technobabble. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford from TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Technobabble records live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on churchtechcast.com. So head on over and join the conversation. I've got the chat window open right now in my primary monitor, ready to talk to you. If you aren't really a live chat kind of person, or you've stumbled across this a little bit later, that's okay. We've got other ways of communicating. You can drop me a line, Paul at TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Head on over to Twitter, at Paul Allen Cliff. That's the at sign, PaulAlanCliff, one F there. And you can message me there. Also, if you're just someone that likes the phone, let's say you prefer phone calls, I also have a toll-free number for you. It's 1-877-763-3246, or if you prefer, 1-877-POD-ECHO, where you can echo back to this podcast. So let's get started talking about fonts, shall we? So when it comes to fonts, you would think, oh, well, that's pretty simple. It's just, you go to the drop down and you change the font. That's not hard. Yeah, it's not hard to change a font. It's not even particularly hard to install a font. But there's the why you would do it, that's the piece of the puzzle that a lot of people miss. So let's talk about a couple of things about fonts, and then we'll talk about why you would use each one. Now, first off, there are two kinds of fonts, two major delineations. Those are title fonts and body fonts. Now, more often than not, I have seen people use body fonts in the title, or use title fonts for the body. And let me explain that. I want you to grab a book. I don't have any of mine right here. I'd have to turn around and look at my bookcase. But if you open any book and you look at it, look at how legible the text on the page is. It might be a serif or a sans serif font. We'll talk about those in a minute. But it's probably not a script font. It's probably not a grungy font. If it is, it's probably not professionally done, because the designers that design the inside of a book wouldn't make that mistake. That's kind of a big one, because what people read the most needs to be the most legible. So that's why the body of a book needs to have the most legible font it can, and it's usually a very boring font. I'm sorry to tell you, if you think that you can make something great just by changing the font, you've made a mistake. It has to start out good, and then you tweak the font to make it better. You can't start with something that's bad and tweak the font to make it all of a sudden great. It just doesn't work that way. That's one of the finishing touches. That's not one of the things that turns something from horrible to great. So keep that in mind. So once you know the difference between body fonts and title fonts tend to be splashier. Body fonts tend to be more boring, all things being equal. There are different styles of fonts. Now, of course, we know about bold, italic, normal, those. But beyond that, let's take a look at other fonts. Now, primarily, I want to talk about sans serif versus serif. What do I mean by that? Okay, so take a look at Times New Roman or Times, one of those kind of fonts. Notice that there are like little feet on the end of things. So the N, for example, it's not just a line down and then a loop next to it, lowercase n I'm talking about. On the bottom and top of each of those lines, there's a little horizontal line. Those are serifs. And sans serif, sans in French, meaning without, is a font that does not have those little bitty lines, those little flourishes that add to the font. So that's the difference between those two basic kinds of fonts, is you've got one that has the little extra feet that makes it a little clearer what a letter is, but they're also considered a kind of more old-fashioned. So Times New Roman, Times, those kind of fonts were used in newspapers in the early 20th century. So since we're in the early 21st century, they feel a little dated. If you go back and look at books printed probably from, well, anywhere in the 20th century, you'll notice that the body font tends to be a serif font because they were thought to be very clear. And they are clear, but they also kind of feel a little stodgy in their use. But keep that in mind because there might be something that you're designing that needs that. I wouldn't necessarily use it for worship lyrics unless you were doing like a hymn. So, at my church, for example, we do this hymn, I'm blanking on what it is, but it's one of the ones that's been rearranged so that it's much more modern. On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. So there, it's more modern, and it's kind of bluesy, jazzy kind of arrangement. But midway through, there's kind of a spoken part, which has a kind of an oversaturated waveform kind of sound to it. And I always change the font to a serif font during that. But during the body, during the singing part, I go back to a sans serif font. So the serif font I use is like American Typewriter, you know, very kind of old school monotype. Monotype, what I mean by that is that the font, each letter has exactly the same amount of space. So if you think of a typewriter, the O takes up the same amount of space as the I. A P takes the same amount of space as an L. There's not any variation in the space. They're monospace. Whereas modern computer fonts, more narrow letters take up less space. And when I say less space, I mean not only the letter itself, but the margin around the letter. So on a typewriter, there's more margin on, let's say, a capital I than there is on a capital M. But they take up the same amount of space on a page. So that's a monospace font. And back to what I was talking about, sans serif versus serif fonts. If you want something that's a little more modern, think of like your Helvetica's, your Arial's, those kind of fonts which don't have the extra little flourishes on the letters. So the I might just be a vertical line. Now it might have the two horizontal lines on top and bottom, but it's definitely not going to have the additional vertical lines on either side of those horizontal lines at the top and bottom. So that would make it a serif font. Slight difference. So those are your main fonts. Typically in the body of anything, you're going to use a serif font or a sans serif font. Something like Helvetica, something like Arial, something like Times or Times New Roman, those kind of fonts are what you're going to be using. Now, there are other fonts. There are script fonts, and you'll see script fonts used a lot around Christmas, sometimes around Easter, definitely at weddings. For some reason, people love the scripty fonts around weddings. I don't know, I just tell you about it. So those are the ones that look like cursive. If you're my age or older, you learned that in school before people realized, you know, people are taking notes with laptops. They probably don't need to know how to write fast and semi-legibly. So that is a script font. Again, think of it as cursive or calligraphy kind of feeling, but connected. A grunge font looks like it wasn't done very well, but it's purposeful. So a lot of times there will be stray marks around it, almost like someone had partially erased it, or it's big block letters and it looks like it was stamped with a rubber stamp, but the rubber stamp wasn't cut very well, so there's extraneous junk around it. That's a grungy type font. You might use that for a rap song. You might use it for just anything that you want to feel more young and hip and cool. So if your congregation is primarily people in their 70s, you probably wouldn't use a grunge font. If you're trying to reach out to the teenage crowd, maybe a grunge font is the right choice. Now, there are also special fonts. Those are things that are totally different from the ones that I've mentioned before. Some of the most widely used and abused special fonts are things like papyrus. Churches love papyrus because it kind of looks a little like calligraphy, but a little like something a scribe would write. Yeah, it's way overused. Find something else to use because it is becoming kind of, well, not kind of, it's something that is just so overused that it's trite and it's trivial in its use. So I wouldn't use papyrus. Along that same vein, people seem to love Comic Sans. I don't get why you like Comic Sans, because it looks like the hand lettering for a comic book. But people don't use it for a comic book, because that would be fine, you know, use it for something that's supposed to be in the funny papers on Sunday morning. That would be a good usage. Any other usage tends to be bad. And people use the heck out of MS Comic Sans, and I don't get it at all. In fact, I've got a friend that anytime it's brought up, he says, MS Comic Sans must die. It's like that's his name for the font, MS Comic Sans must die. He hates it, hates it, hates it. Of course, he's a better designer than me, so I trust his feeling on it. And I've noticed, too, that it's well overused. And here's the hint. It was never designed to be used like it is used today. People use it indiscriminately. But it was supposed to be just a fun, special font that you would use only on special occasions. Now, there are fonts in other languages. There are Hebrew fonts, Greek fonts. Cyrillic fonts. Something I see a lot on Twitter is people will misuse different fonts and different letters using Greek letters for English letters and so on. So in Greek, the letter rho, the lowercase rho, looks like an English lowercase p. So my biblical Greek background from seminary sees that and wants to pronounce it with an R sound, but they're using it like a P because it looks like a P. So that's something that you might do if you're trying to emulate what's going on Twitter, but you generally would not do that in your normal life. So there was kind of a When I was in college, there was something called the Society of Underground Poets, S-O-U-P, soup. Well, they thought it would be fun to have t-shirts made up that said S-O-U-P on them, only they didn't use S-O-U-P. They used Sigma, Omicron, Upsilon, Rho. So it actually said sour. Kind of funny, but that's the kind of mistake that I'm talking about. Now, finally, there is another category of font that you might use if you want something to appear like it's being handwritten, and that would be a handwriting font. So Lucinda Grand is one that pops into my head immediately as a handwriting font. There are actually a few sites where you can take your handwriting and have it made into a font. What's funny, particularly on mine, is I have two fonts that I use. I use what I call the Baker font, and I call it the Baker font just not because there's Baker anywhere in my name, but when I print something out, my college roommate, I loved his handwriting. So when I was in college, I started copying just a letter here and a letter there. And before long, my handwriting started to look a lot like his. Well, his first name is Baker. Happy 40th birthday, Baker, by the way. He's just had his 40th last Saturday as I'm recording this. So that's the Baker font. Now, then I have my signature font. And that's the font that I sign everything in. And that's the only thing I use it for. So it's cursive. And the funny thing about it is, since I only use it that way, when I was taking the GRE in college, there was a section where you had to write out this thing, and I'd forgotten how to do some of the letters. Like, there was a Z in there. I'm like, okay, is that like a Z, or does that look like a number 2? No, the number 2 is actually a Q. Oh, all this crazy stuff, you know, and that's because I only know P-A-U-L, A-L-A-N, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D, my full name. That's all I know in cursive off the top of my head. I have to think about everything else because I never use it. I type stuff on a laptop if I'm taking notes, or I print it out using the Baker font, as we've discussed earlier. So each of those would be a handwriting font. And they would be something that's quite interesting visually, but it's not something that you would use every day in every project. So fonts are like video transitions, I think. I think that you need to have a reason to use the font that you're using. And the mistake that new designers make and new videographers make is they don't have any reason. They do it just because, oh, that looks cool, as opposed to, well, I'm looking for a grungy feeling, a younger feel in this project. Then you go for a grunge font. This is a wedding. Nuptial Script would be a great choice for that. Or some other scripty kind of font. I want it to look like a check is being written. That would be a handwriting font. So you see how each font has its own purpose. And you can find tons of them. There are paid-for fonts. There are also free fonts. If you go to dafont, dafont.com, that would be a good place to start with tons of free fonts. And I go from there. So those are just some of the different fonts that you can use when you're expanding how you design things for your church, for your worship service, whether it's a bulletin or the screen, whether it's a video or a mailer. Choosing the correct font and only the correct font, because you don't want to use more than three fonts in any project unless you're trying to make it look like a ransom note. You just don't. So using those fonts and only those fonts that are appropriate will help you make a better impact. It'll dress up what you're doing in appropriate design so that people know that it's important, as opposed to neglecting it and people assume that it's not important. That's exactly what I would do, and that's what I encourage you to do as we go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.